Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Yeah, usually well, hey, I think you hey, just can't hear her hey, watching reality shows.
I'm supposed to be doing an intro.
Do it. Welcome. Do it, Tim.
Welcome to Podcast 2187. This is episode 88, and this is a very smooth start in so many ways. Andrea is here, kind of. She's half here at the moment. Don't distract her.
I'm almost done.
And we have Jared and Mark. So you two, Jared and Mark, how are you doing?
Yo, 3 weeks sick, dog.
Yeah, I think Mark and I are both feeling unwell. So
that's not good.
Today yeah. And today,
oh
I woke,
my god!
Today I woke
oh my god!
The pink eye.
Oh,
shut up.
I beat it, but I took 9 turns, and the recommended amount of turns was 8. So I didn't get a perfect score. I got a good score. I got good. Because even though all 3 of my characters made it out alive.
So you got a participation award. Congratulations.
Okay.
Okay. So
that won't happen. But
I
you
feel,
guys fixed it for me.
I feel like somebody was saying something.
Yeah, Mark was starting to talk about pink eye.
Oh, no. I was just three weeks sick, and today I wake up with pink eye. So it's like,
man.
What's going on next? What's happening next?
Probably the flu.
No, yeah. I already got tested for the flu. I don't know what I've had for 3 weeks, but it ain't good. But it's not the flu.
Well, I mean, it's good that it's not the flu.
I don't like the sound of this.
3 weeks. 3 weeks, and it ain't the flu, and I'm scared that the flu's going to hit me. I had a flu shot, but I hear it's not that good this year. So, anyways, everybody out there, 30,000 people apparently die every year because of the flu. That's the statistic I heard today. That's some scary crap.
Yeah, I don't want you to be one of those dudes.
I don't either. Because right now I have what's
after
it called?
After that prequel discussion, I don't know.
Step
oh.
off. I have what's that called? Something immune system. What's it called? Come on, Andrea. Use your medical knowledge.
Huh?
He's got some sort of autoimmune system thing. What's he got?
There's like 50 different things you can have.
What's the basic one?
When it's compromised. When right now you're not at your very best.
It's just called,
he wants
it's
to
just
order the cheapest one.
It's just called immunocompromised.
Sure, yeah, that. Because I'm still recovering. I'm not at my best.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Flu becomes. So.
Yeah, that seems to check out my my medical.
Yeah. That's like in a very extreme case. Several of the elderly relatives of mine who've passed away have been like from complications from cancer. It's been stuff like they get pneumonia or the flu or something, and that's what actually kills them. But when they're in the hospital recovering from cancer, when
the hospital is not a good place to be.
No, not when they're like 90. I just feel like at that point, that generation, they were just fighting it. Like the. You know, as we progress, we're going to live longer and longer. But, you know, my grandparents, cousins, and siblings, they weren't able to save their brains. They weren't able to make their bodies live to be 90, but nothing worked anymore. So
yeah.
That's not what that happened to Mark. That's everybody. Yeah. We need to figure out. We need House to come and diagnose you.
You don't need House.
I need the good doctor. I need that kid with Asperger's, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be better than House, because House just would say it's lupus every time to start. It's like, I could just guess it's lupus to start. If that's what being a diagnostician is, that's like, I could do that.
And the sad thing is that, you know, I haven't been in way too many emergency rooms in my life because my son went through a serious chest issue. They just basically just... They want to stabilize you and get you the hell out. So this kind of idea that we in the emergency room are going to diagnose everything there is to know about you, like House, and figure out what's going on. No, if you're not bleeding,
well, not to vouch for emergency rooms because they have like a million problems, but it's mostly because they're always almost at like 110% capacity, and that's what they need to do to keep it even like functional. Like they need to
get it.
They need to get people in and out, and if they can't get stabilized and leave, they need to get admitted, but they can't get admitted because there's so many people in the hospital who need long-term care beds because everyone's aging, but they don't have any long-term care beds because there's not enough places because there's not enough workers. So if you need a job, go into the healthcare industry because there's a lot of freaking sick people and not enough places for anyone to go. And that's why the hospitals are so full, and that's why the emergency department's so full, and it all just trickles down and it sucks. But the only thing we can do as like medical providers is just keep trying to expand, but you can only expand so quickly. Like, I think an emergency department around here added like 80 beds or something crazy, and it's already, they're already back over capacity. Like that was like 2 years ago. Like it's just patients, people are getting sicker and sicker and getting older and older, and the entire generation is starting to go to the emergency department. And then there's all those people that go to the emergency department when really they could be going to an urgent care or a doctor, but they don't know, or they don't have like a, they don't have anyone to take them. So they have to call an ambulance. Like they don't have the proper, you know, are you going to take an Uber to urgent care? Maybe, I guess that's what some people are doing now. It's just, it's all messed up. Sorry to go on that rant, but our medical system needs like a serious overhaul, but we really, really need more people to just work. Like we just need a lot more nurses and a lot more mid-level providers.
And that is the breakdown of episode 9 for anyone.
Yeah.
Curious.
So, Finn becomes a nurse.
Yes, basically.
He saw, he had to be in that tank, and he saw how hard the droids worked, and he was like, I want to do that.
Do they still use the term candy striper?
No.
No?
Nope.
What did that mean anyways? I know it was a person who pushed you out.
I think it was a volunteer.
Yeah, and it was it was in reference to their uniforms. They wore smocks that had like pink pinstripes, so it looked like a candy canes.
I get like, I mean, we still get weird comments. Like old men will be like, "Why don't you guys wear the skirts anymore?" And we'll be like, "Why can't you control when you move your bowels anymore?" And they'll be like, "Well,
you would never say that."
I would never say that, but
stop it. Do no harm, remember?
I'm joking.
I was going to say, to quote McConaughey, man, it'd be a lot cooler if you did say
but
that.
But also, I could not, I could not possibly do my job in a skirt.
Yeah, no. I don't think so.
So
it's not realistic.
Well, like, to quote what Jared said before we started, we actually do have a little bit of Star Wars tonight.
So,
before we started and then went into a 7-minute rant about important issues
pretty much. And Mark, I would appreciate it if you could stop being sick for the next hour.
Yeah. I got a beer and whiskey, we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, first thing that I know caught a lot of attention is that there is a synopsis, an official synopsis out for Solo: A Star Wars Story, and I'm sure at this point everybody's heard it or read it. But in case you haven't, that's why we're here. And it says, board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away in Solo: A Star Wars Story, an all-new adventure with the most beloved scoundrel in the galaxy. Through a series of daring escapades deep within a dark and dangerous criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters the notorious gambler Lando Calrissian in a journey that will set the course of one of the Star Wars saga's most unlikely heroes. There is your film synopsis for Solo.
Yes.
And it is still coming out on May 25th of this year, which I assume will be at the end of a trailer if we get one. Because at this, it could be the first movie in history that just never has a trailer and everybody would go see it anyway.
That had to be the lamest synopsis ever.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, as expected.
Be like, did you guys hear if there's a Han Solo movie? We forgot.
It turns out Chewie and Lando are in it. That's pretty much what it says.
In case you don't know, Chewie and Lando, and there's the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I was going to say, all the things you associate with Han, but could have been before A New Hope.
And we'll put those four things in a trailer, and you guys will be happy.
Yeah.
And you'd think that has to be coming soon, right? Like...
I don't
you might as well
care.
Wait till the Super Bowl at this point.
I don't really care either at this point, too, Mark. Like, I'm with you. And Super Bowl would be as good a time as any since it doesn't make any sense. It's the end of January. Like,
Like, I just saw. Man,
I want to see it. I am down to see it. I'm excited to see it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But at this point, once the trailer is going to happen, all of a sudden we're going to start getting bombarded with these TV spots before you know it.
Yeah,
so, it's true. It's going to be too much at once, I think, because they've got four months.
When's Force Friday or Force Tuesday or whatever the hell it is? When is it this year?
Oh, this is where we need Jesse.
Jesse.
Text him real quick. He's probably still awake. He's probably playing with his figures. Jesse.
Well, the thing is, the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks, and I think I saw a couple articles, and I don't know the source because I did not read them, but I think like Hollywood Reporter might have been one, something, where they were saying it might be, for some reason, people are mentioning Wednesday of this week, the 24th. I don't know why.
I heard that too, or read that too online, but I don't remember. It seemed like it was a rumor for sure. But yeah.
Right, and I didn't read it, so I don't know what the reasoning is for picking that date. But maybe it's as far
is it
as you know.
Before or after Infinity War.
After, I think that comes after. Out like the 11th or something of May.
Oh yeah, see, we've got Black Panther coming out next month. We've got Infinity War coming out before that. We got, I think, Deadpool coming out before that. You're gonna get all these different movies that are gonna have your attention, and then you're gonna have the Last Jedi will be out on Blu-ray and. The Rebels season finale, Kanan's gonna die, and all these things are gonna just before you know it, Solo's gonna be in theater. So I don't really care if we get a trailer or not. The hell with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's right, girl.
It's yeah. Just, let's just fast weird. Forward to like warm weather.
I'm with you.
And but I can move.
Yeah, to June or whatever.
Yeah, buddy.
Sweet.
What?
I like that you're channeling the weasel. Pauly Shore he's alive in our hearts. I don't know if he's dead or not, but he's here. He's here on the podcast.
Before you know it, he's gonna come back with just like.
Doesn't he do the Oh Canada thing at Disney World?
Pauly Shore.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know, but I don't think he's Canadian. I think his stepdad owned MTV, as far as I can tell.
Wait, I think I'm mixing him up with someone else.
I think so.
I have to figure out who does this now.
Are you sure you know who Pauly Shore is?
No, I'm Googling him. Nope, I thought he was totally someone else.
He's the son-in-law.
Yeah, he's the Encino
Man. The Biodome. Yes, he is. He
introduced watched the world to
Tenacious D.
Because
Tenacious D was at the end of Biodome.
Okay, yeah. Just stop. Stop later. Later on, go watch Encino Man. You'll love it.
Okay, from what I'm seeing, he is alive, and he was born in Hollywood, California. So that answers the things that have just been discussed.
What was his awful courtroom movie? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, it was like, oh god.
Yeah, but you know who does it? Martin Short. Does the
okay? I get the phonetic similarity between shore and short, but beyond that, like that's amazing. They could not be more different.
That's maybe like the worst thing I've ever said on this podcast. Like
7-year-old Canadian comedy treasure, or Pauly Shore.
Are you guys thinking of Jury Duty?
Yes, the one.
Yes.
That was the one. Thank you, Tim.
Yep.
He was basically like an Ernest in a way. It was like let's put Pauly Shore in. Like you could have Ernest Goes to Court. You could have Pauly Shore in Jury Duty. You could have Ernest Goes to the Farm. You could have Pauly Shore in Son-in-Law. I think it was.
Yes. Yes. Carlo Gugino.
Let's just take this character, and let's just drop him in an Atlanta situation until people get tired of him, and then we won't watch it anymore. That's pretty much what it is. Except I thought they would do that with. I thought people would get tired of Adam Sandler, but I think his stuff on Netflix is the most watched.
I think you're right because like they keep renewing his deal, and like critics are like every time critics are like these get less and less funny every time. And
Have you ever met anyone who was like, you got to watch the Adam Sandler movie on Netflix? I've never heard anyone say anything about them.
I was going to say, like, I grew up I think I know. I think like the kids who I was friends with because they lived close by when I was growing up, those are the kids who I think who grew into the adults who still watch that on Netflix. Because, and maybe it's just junior high students forever. Because like I remember being in junior high when Billy Madison came out and like watching it with my friends and thinking it was the funniest thing in the world. And then later on teaching junior high and having the like hearing kids talk about watching Billy Madison on like TBS or something, be like, and I said something from the movie like, how do you know that movie? I'm like, I watched that when it actually came out in the theaters. And I feel like I outgrew him, but I can think of a type of people who didn't outgrow that humor.
Yeah,
you know?
I enjoyed Billy Madison. I enjoyed Happy Gilmore. I enjoyed Wedding Singer, 50 First Dates. And then after that, it was like Big Daddy, no. Waterboy, not really.
No, and they just get worse and worse. Like, oh, even before that, the first one that got, I think just was absurdly stupid. The first one, you cried at Click.
Yeah, it's emotional then. I can't remember why I cried, but I remember
his magic remote for no reason.
Yeah, I was like,
can we give a spoiler for Colin? Can we tell him to stop listening if he listens to the show?
What?
Real quick. Colin, if you listen to the show, stop listening.
For like 30 seconds or something?
Love is a pile of crap.
Oh, I love that movie. You don't like it?
It's a pile. Sorry, Paul Thomas Anderson.
I love that movie. I think
it is a steaming pile. Maybe I need to rewatch it, but
I think it's absolutely incredible. But I also I don't think it matters much that he's in it. Like it's like he's almost like a prop. That movie, I think, just as a piece of visual art, is incredible in the way that the sounds and the colors like interact and each.
I need to rewatch it. Because really cool. I was huge into Boogie Nights, huge into Magnolia, and then Punch Drunk Love comes out, and I was like, "What the?"
It is definitely weird and kind of experimental, but I don't know, I like it, and I related to the character a lot at the time. He was just a really depressed dude.
Oh, sorry, I think I didn't say anything bad about him.
No. Well, he was just he does crap I would never do, but he also just I don't know. It was weird, I feel like he is kind of just used, by the director. Sometimes an actor can not necessarily be bad or good, just kind of well used in a role. I feel like,
I cannot for the life of me remember how we got from Solo to this. Like, I'm genuinely interested in how this happened.
Well, it's important that we realize that Adam Sandler is our society.
I think it's like the plot line in Silicon Valley where the bots use the app. I think Netflix does that for Adam Sandler. Sandler does it so he can keep getting a check.
Maybe, but because his in-theater releases did like steadily decline. Like Pixels didn't do the money that the previous one did or whatever. Oh, and Little Nicky, that's the one that was the first one that I was like, this is just trash. Like I liked them less and less and less until that one, and I couldn't even finish it. Like it was just... Oh, it's absurdly bad.
Okay, so let me ask you though. I know we have pretty much.
Speaking of Adam Sandler, Natalie Portman's hosting SNL.
Okay, so I think that.
What do they have in common?
Well, that's Star Wars related.
I know.
That's
Star Wars related. I'm getting us back to Star Wars related.
I just did.
Yeah, and I'm getting us back to more on point.
She interrupted you to sneak it in there.
Unless Natalie Portman's in Solo, then my thing's better.
Whoa.
Wow, how dare you say that about Padme?
That's pretty anti-prequel, Tim.
Yeah, how anti-prequel of you.
And if anybody... Okay, just listen to what last week, anyway.
And Senator.
All right, so since we all pretty much all said that there was like nothing to take from the synopsis... What kind of thing, I'm going to ask all of you, what kind of thing would you like to have seen in there that would have made you more excited? What kind of statement or idea, just what would you want that would get you more interested?
Five words, two phrases.
Okay.
Yep. I know two of the words, two of them, they count as separate or a name. It's Boba Fett, yeah.
And then Jabba the Hutt.
Okay, I mean... So you wanted to have them named in the synopsis?
Look, they kind of said it anyways. I'm hoping. You sons of bees. You better not be messing with me.
You mean with the underworld part?
You should be able to say that according to Tim's rules.
No, because I think it would have put an extra spin on it. Because I'm really salty right now.
Okay, it would have been too harsh.
Why, can I say that word, Tim?
Yeah.
You sons of bitches. You're going to put Underworld in there, but not say Boba Fett or not say Jabba the Hutt. If I get Bib Fortuna and none of those two, there's going to be hell to pay.
I mean, Bib Fortuna in there and not Jabba and not either one. Like, they can put one and not the other, but if they have Bib Fortuna and not at least one of the two, that's just, like, borderline trolling.
What if they have, like, a different Hutt and it's all practical?
I don't know.
I would be so happy if it was Zero just to troll people who hate Zero.
I hate Zero with a passion, so that would be me.
Or isn't there Mama? Isn't Mama like a big one?
Yeah, and she's like terrifying.
She's like Mama June, kind of?
Yeah, she is. No, man, Zero,
Do they give Jabba a tragic backstory? So why he became evil?
They're saving that for the Del Toro movie.
No. Yeah, Jabba is one of those things where kind of like a takeoff of Rogue One where his father's dying in his arms and he's like, Papa, and it was really sad.
His father's dying in his arms because he killed him. That's the difference.
You have to take over the family business. Works.
Yeah, I would like Stinky to be to come forward at some point.
Wow. That's he should get his own trilogy.
Well, no.
That's Rian Johnson. That's what he's doing.
Stinky the Hutt. Oh, that is a corner that no one has touched. Star Wars legacy. No, man, that's a great idea though, because that should be Del Toro's one. Because didn't Guillermo del Toro say he wanted to do the backstory of Jabba and do it like the Godfather as a trilogy or whatever, like this intense mob story? He should just do that, but with Stinky leading up to like the present day of the current trilogy. And then that way it'll introduce him for the movies going forward. And it'd be fantastic. Well, he'd be so full of pathos. And he could have his really effeminate Uncle Zero or Cousin Zero or whatever with the inexplicable Truman Capote impersonation. That is so weird. It's like, I just remember reading that somewhere, someone's account, where it was just like talking to Lucas and they developed it. He's like, no, give him a scarf. No, have him do this. And it's like, oh, no, he has to speak. You know, in English, is like, but Hutt doesn't speak in English. It's like, yeah, they do now because he has to sound like Truman Capote. And everyone's just like, what? Like, because he hadn't expressed that to anyone yet. But it's just like, why? Why does Jabba's nephew have to be Truman Capote? It's so weird.
Well, that is an interesting thing. If you make a movie that is about Jabba, does he not talk a lot, or is there a lot of subtitles in the movie?
I think there just have to be a lot of subtitles.
Look, they have Apocalypto and Passion of the Christ. Not to put those two in a Jabba reference, but still.
Well, those are both Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah, he likes going for the authenticity as far as languages or whatnot. So I'm down for it.
And there's been big foreign language hits, like Amelie was really big here. And what do you call it? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon did really well in the theaters.
Jared, I love those are really huge here.
Not huge, but they were successful.
Okay, but this Star Wars, Jared.
Star Wars should push the boundaries.
Maybe teach little kids to read.
I think it would motivate some kids.
Well, and here's the other thing about a Jabba movie, or even him in the Solo one, potentially. You know, if you make him so that he's like super mean, you're going to have people saying that it like undermines him in the originals or something. And if you make it where he's not that intense, they're going to say he wasn't mean enough. So how do you work Jabba as a character into either Solo or his own movie with that balance of being like, you know, the character he's supposed to be?
The spoilers that we've heard a little bit, you know, in what I'm talking about is, I think there's three or four different types of stormtroopers in this damn movie, which I'm all for. Anytime I can get a different looking stormtrooper, I love it. Because that's one of the things I love about Revenge of the Sith. That's one of the things I love about the Clone Wars TV show, is all the different, you know, clones and the different variations on the uniform. So I like it. But already as it is now, we've got that. We've got, you know, Chewbacca. At some point, Han Solo has to meet Chewbacca. Woody Harrelson's hanging around somewhere. We got Lando in it. We've got whoever this, the Queen of Dragons is playing. We've got Tanny Newton floating here. We got Paul Bettany, the Vision, doing whatever else. And then someone said Vader might be in it. I don't know. But if you forgot Jabba the Hutt.
You forgot another one of the primary players is the girl from the BBC or cable show in the UK and Amazon here, I think. What's Sophie, whatever, the British actress.
Sophie's Choice?
That's not her name, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
Oh gosh.
I don't know.
Some show about being a 20-something person.
There's a lot of people in this movie, and there's a lot of things, you know, I have yet to, the Kessel Run's in this thing, and this is here, and that. I'm just not sure how it's going to all flow together yet. And that's kind of cool in a way, but, you know, we'll see where it goes. There's just a lot of stuff that, you know, it's hard not having seen anything to be able to put anything together.
That's very true. It's like this one, with all the pictures from the set and like the early photos and stuff and the, you know, sneak peek at Celebration last year with the one alien and Warwick Davis. It's like they've not been secretive about this movie, but at the same time, we know the least about it. Like they were so much more secretive about Force Awakens, but we knew so much more like 10 months ahead of time compared to now, where we're 4 months out and we're like, well, it's gonna be Han Solo's greatest hits. That's all we know. Like we don't really know the tone because we haven't seen any teaser. Like we don't. It's really weird.
I mean, it does feel, somebody said there's going to be, you know, fan service, and it does feel like that. And I'm fine with that as long as it's more, honestly, I want old Marvel comic fan service. I really want it to be over the top. I can't stress that enough, that the weirder it is, the more I'm fine with it. We just had a serious Star Wars movie with The Last Jedi. If this one's completely bat guano, I do this for you, Tim. I'm here for you. If this one's like that, then I'll be fine with it. I'm fine with these bright, vibrant colors and you know, maybe Casino Worlds. Well, actually, we got that in Last Jedi. Never mind. I'm cool with it. I want it to really stretch itself.
It does feel though interesting to me that they're going the route of like we've known for a while. One of the things we have known for a while now, one of the few details, was that it expands a long period of his life, like it spans like 6 years or whatever. And right. Like that, and just knowing all those things, that it's going to be when he meets Chewie and Lando, and when he does the Kessel Run and gets the Falcon. It's like his origin story or his greatest hits. It just feels to me weird, like they're almost closing themselves off a little bit from potential movies between that also happened between this and A New Hope. Like it feels like this is going to be like Rogue One, and that for Han it leads into A New Hope in a little bit. You know,
the crazy thing is the first 20 minutes of this movie is probably going to span more time than The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. I mean, that movie is what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month. This thing's going to be like, you know, we're gonna jump from years, you know, right off the bat, I think.
Oh, yeah, I feel like the total of those two movies is like maybe over a week, maybe 10 days tops.
The longest, you could really make a case that, okay, maybe she chilled on the car for a while. But other than that, you know, there is no other option.
And it doesn't. Just with the evacuation and them having no reinforcements and Poe and her not having met anymore, you know, removing that portion from the book because it doesn't jive with what's on screen, which I never really bought into the book thing. Like that, if that was important, they would have showed it on screen. but so it feels like it was more rushed, you know, than likely that it was like a month or whatever, you know, like, but either way, like it wasn't much time. And either way, Rogue One is a really fast paced movie, even though it jumps around a little bit because of the backstory. Like, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, unless this starts, if it's only 6 years, it's not going to start on little kid Han. Like, you know, like, yeah. It's not going to be. Well, and like, this is about 12-year-old Han. Alden Ehrenreich isn't pulling that off.
Well, like another thing too is there's so much focus put on the director, which I totally understand, and how it has gone from Phil Lord and Chris Miller to Ron Howard, of course. But even with the change in directors, the script and the heart of the story has not changed, at least not much as far as I know. And it is done by Lawrence Kasdan and his son. I think, is his son's name Chris Kasdan? Is that his name? I want to say
it was John, but I don't know.
It's something. But Lawrence Kasdan and his son. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Because he's totally listening. But they still have the heart of the story. They made the story, and that part's still there. So, you know, obviously the director's going to handle that vision differently. But and I think when the trailer does come out, obviously, if it hits all the right points, then, you know, we're going to be fine. We're going to be happy, and we're going to be hyped for May. But how do you think the lack of promotion up to this point affects the general audience who are not closely following Star Wars, don't listen to Star Wars podcasts, those kinds of things?
I don't think it affects them, really. I think for most people, there's going to be a surprise like, wait, what? Another Star Wars movie already? Because I heard somebody talking about how much they loved, this is right when Last Jedi came out, it was on like the local news here, Channel 5 or Channel 7 or something. And they were like, oh, it's so nice to get a Star Wars movie every Christmas. I'm like, well, guess what, lady? You're going to have one in 5 months. But I think people will be a little bit shocked, the people that don't follow stuff like this. And then I think people will be confused why there's no Star Wars movie at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Why the sequel is already coming out.
Right. I thought he died.
Yeah. Why didn't he die? In this movie? That's going to be my mom. Oh, my God. I see it now. I see it now.
My parents are old, but if they understand he's on Solo, then they're just going to... I feel like they're both going to be annoyed that it's not Harrison Ford. That's just their personalities. Like, my mom loves Harrison Ford for different reasons than my dad does, but they both love him.
I was going to say, you know, Andrea, your dad's not going to know it's Han because it's not Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
well, Kylo didn't kill Han. He killed H4.
He's not going to watch that. He's not going to watch it. Harrison Ford, he likes Han Solo because he loves Harrison Ford, which I don't blame him, which is honestly my gripe with the movie. I'm like, will I care about it? Probably not.
Well, it's going to be weird because no matter how hard you try, there's going to be a part of you, I think at least, where you're watching the movie and you're like, I know that's supposed to be Han, and I'm buying into it, but at the same time, it's not going to be quite like when you saw him in Force Awakens, when you could that's Harrison Ford, that is Han Solo, you know? It's going to be a little different feeling, but we'll have to, I guess, just wait and see how it works out.
Like a very heavy Lando. Because I love Donald Glover, which I've said like 50 times. But I mean, I'm not mad that they're keeping it low hype for it.
Well, like, yeah.
We need a little. I don't ever want to be like burnt out from Star Wars. That would make me so sad. So I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it.
I'm not disappointed, and I don't think it's really gonna matter much.
I'm still not that hyped for the movie, but I'm sure I'll see it.
It's just weird. It's just a weird choice. There's no comparison that Marvel or Disney on any other front or Warner Brothers or anybody, they don't release big budget huge movies, but they don't give any real press, you know, 4 months ahead of time. They still haven't done anything. Well, like, it's just weird. Like, this synopsis is something that would have usually been released about 6 months ago.
Right. And from what I've read online, it seems like the common thought, like, there are two camps and there's really nothing between from what I've seen. One is that, Disney and Lucasfilm know that this movie is going to suck, so they're just trying to keep it as low expectation and low hype as possible and kind of slip it through the radar. The other thing is that people are saying they're that confident that it's going to be good, that people are going to enjoy it, that they don't need to have this big marketing blitz, that it'll be fine on its own. And there's like nobody saying it's going to be mediocre.
I don't think it'll be bad, but I just think they realize that a huge Star Wars movie just came out. They're going to have to promote it on DVD soon, or on Blu-ray, whatever we're using. And they're going to have to do promo for that. I think they're, like, I don't know, cognizant about burning people out and just being like, well, we don't have to promote this movie 5 months ahead of time. Like, I don't know. I thought Tomb Raider was already out because I've started seeing trailers for that, like, how long ago? I saw a trailer for it today. I was like, that movie's not out yet? Like, what? It doesn't come out for another, like, month or something, right? I'm already, like, sick of seeing it.
I don't know. I just saw the first trailer the other day myself.
Really? I feel like I've seen so many trailers for it. But I don't know. I think that's why. But who knows? Someone's just going to have to interview Disney about it. But they probably won't let them.
Well, and like I said, for us, after it comes out, assuming it hits all the spots, we'll be fine. And I mean, we're not going to forget how long it took. But for all intents and purposes, until the movie's out, we'll be fine. Once it's actually out and once it's here. But
will
until
be though,
then,
because
it's
Harrison
weird.
Ford didn't de-age. Will we be okay?
Like, if it hits all the points. You know, that's what I said.
Why can't it just be a Lando and Chewie movie?
Why is that acceptable?
Because Donald Glover is amazing.
Somebody else too.
Yeah, but I trust Donald Glover with the character way more than I trust What's-His-Face playing...
Holden Ehrenreich?
Playing Han Solo.
Why? Why?
Because he's already proven himself to be a good actor, and he's a good writer, and he's a good rapper. Like, dude can do whatever he wants.
At Homecoming, jeez.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
Yeah. He's been in other stuff.
Yeah, well.
You can look up IMDb. What do I look like, Google?
Atlanta?
Yeah, Community. He has an entire rap career.
Sorry. His entire rap career under a different name, a pseudonym?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guess what? Daft Punk shouldn't star in Han Solo either. We don't know their real names. I probably do, actually, somewhere.
Childish Gambino?
Yeah, he should just star in as Lando. That'd be great.
I agree.
Oh, God. Okay, mute her.
Why are you mad about this?
I don't even know.
Because I think if you're gonna go and recast it with anybody, the idea that you think recasting with one person's acceptable versus recasting with another doesn't make any sense. The uncanny valley of accepting anybody as anybody else is still there. Whether Alton Ehrenreich, I do think it's the same thing. The average person doesn't know who Donald Glover is just as much as they don't know who Alton Ehrenreich is.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about more about Harrison Ford being Han Solo.
But Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian is an icon into itself. So I don't think either person can replace him. Either person can replace either one. But that's what we're getting. So the idea that, you know, one's cool, but we should just have a Lando and Chewie movie. No, because if we're going to recast it. Doesn't make one a better option. You either go with it all or it crashes and burns with both.
Well, that was a joke. So I wasn't seriously suggesting that.
There's truth in jokes and jests. Okay?
No.
Why are you trying to pick a fight with me right now?
Now imagining the Seinfeld moment. Where he's in an argument with his girlfriend, and she's like, "Well, there's some truth to all jokes." He's like, "What about this joke?" And he pulls out just this absurd joke he told her. He's like, "There's no truth in that. No one would ever do that." Like,
I like your Jerry impression.
Thank you. Just act like you're really, really anxious about everything all the time.
Do you have a Larry David impression?
No, but it feels like all the time. They had to change George so much. Like, George is based on him, but it's so funny. Like, other than him being bald, like, he and Jerry aren't distinguishable enough as comedians. Like, they're both tall, skinny Jewish guys from the New York area. you know, who are both have OCD. like they have so much overlap. It's like they had to change George a lot. but still, Larry shines through his insanity.
That was good.
I love that guy.
Me too.
So,
when I looked it up, Tim, it's John Kasdan, the John, okay. Spelling of John, just the J-O-N. And okay. I had to confirm it because his other brother, Jake Kasdan, is also a screenwriter, and he just wrote, what do you call it? The new Jumanji, which was pretty successful.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. So they're having a good, year, I guess, or 6 month period.
That's crazy because I saw that. And yeah, I like it was enjoyable, and I always pay attention to the credits because I'm like that. And I don't remember seeing a Kasdan.
Well, I remember that they were both involved in that stuff, but I couldn't remember which son was the one who wrote Solo or not.
That's cool, though. Wow. Okay.
It is. Maybe he just produced it. I'll have to look it up because he's a writer and a director.
Okay, fine. I'm just looking it up.
Uncredited writer, but he directed it. There you go. So he wasn't credited as the writer, but he was credited as the director, and you missed it. Jeez,
seriously?
Tim. Yeah.
He was the director. Wow. That must have been like the moment I looked at. Okay. Anyway, this is like way off topic. So Rebels. We can talk about that.
Oh, shoot.
Did somebody not watch the trailer?
No,
trailer.
Someone was gonna watch the trailer before we recorded and then may have forgotten to do that, but I heard that Kanan gets a haircut, and that's all I've seen.
Well, that's true.
I did see it.
So that's Kanan my recap. And the son and daughter, the Trinity are back.
Well, yeah,
Mortis.
Mark and Jared, did you both see it too?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So, working with that then.
For once, we all saw a Rebels thing for the first time in a while.
Well, yeah. And like, this is going to sound so random. This is completely random, but there's an ad that just popped up on my computer screen that is for a t-shirt that says, I paused my game to be here, and Andrea, this is your shirt.
I don't need that. The Switch is portable.
Going back to my point. so the Rebels trailer came out for the, was it like the second half of season 4 or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Season 5. I'm trying to look it up while other noise happens in the background.
Stupid internet.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. So the series finale, that part. The trailer came out for that, and the air date, I believe the first episode is going to be on February 19th, I believe. So the trailer was out, and I'll get to what everybody thinks, but just to like put mine out there and then be done with it. As soon as it was over, my first thought was like, here we go again, that Rebels trailers do a great job at being a trailer, and it just kind of looks a little, it works out a little differently when you watch the episodes than the trailers indicate. But
can I posit something, Tim? You have experienced over the course of Rebels' existence from the end of Clone Wars to now, a directly inverse relationship between how much you have faith in Dave Filoni as an overall showrunner and how much respect you have for the guy who edits together the Rebels trailers.
Well, yeah, like when it first started, I mean, I know all of us had said we were thinking about Dave Filoni as a potential director for a spinoff movie. And now, yeah, it's,
We feel like we have egg on our faces.
But still, though, that's my first thought after finishing the trailer. So I thought the trailer itself looked great, like they usually do. What do you guys think of the Rebels series finale trailer?
First of all, I feel dirty for assuming that Dave Filoni should have directed something.
Right? We've all shamed ourselves.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just need to get that off my chest. Cause...
Oh, I was just going to say... what do you call it? That it did feel like it was going to be good, but I can't help but feel like Tim and maybe all of us feel a little bit of like the fool me, you know, fool me once cliche because I don't know, unless I see it in writing that Kanan's going to die, I don't know how this is going to shake out. Like, it makes me feel so screwed up because when the show first came out, I was like trying to figure out ways they could survive, but the path they've gone, it's like, now he's been sort of knighted Jedi, and you know, Ezra's so powerful. It's like they can't go on and be around. They're too deep in the rebellion and too important at this point. It's getting too close to where everything meets up with Rogue One. It's like they got to get rid of him. So I don't want to be I don't want to be bloodthirsty, but they made me. They've pinned themselves in a mighty corner as far as that goes. So. He's got to die, and as Marcus said, either Ezra's got to go with Sabine or something. Like, he's got to go do something. Space pirate with Hondo, I'm cool with. Whatever.
Yeah, I noticed Hondo floating around in the trailer.
There you go. Maybe that'll be what happens. Maybe after Kanan dies, he'll help Sabine, and then he'll go off.
That one group shot is pretty much everybody, except one person, so...
I've been sick of being hyped up by Dave Filoni, so I intentionally did not watch the trailer out of protest.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm sick of his hyping us up and then
shenanigans.
Nothing. Yeah, shenanigans. You know, and I am tired of it, so I'm taking the Mark approach and I'm just gonna go in blind. And if there's I will be so happy. But other than that, yeah.
You do realize it's been about 5 minutes since you said you were going to watch it but forgot.
That's edited out.
No, it's specifically not, especially now.
It sounds fake.
So I guess if we ever do get Andrea to watch the trailer, we'll get her thoughts on it at that point. But for now, based off of what we said... What would you think that would think of it?
That trailer was great because in the beginning when they recap the prior seasons, I was like, yeah, this is a really good show. Rebels is awesome. And then I'm like, wait a second, I don't really like it. But damn, this recap of everything I've watched before is pretty good. And it makes it seem like it actually has some sort of point.
Yeah.
Do commercials ever work on you? Like, do you feel like you're susceptible to advertising? I wonder, because I have always felt like commercials don't work on me. And while I always have liked these Rebels commercials, I've never once been lulled into a false sense of security.
I got lulled into completely thinking that maybe
you actually love Rebels.
Every prior season had a point, and that I didn't know. I must not be able to accurately watch the show for a split second. First foot, second. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you're going to die. When I saw Kanan. So I don't know how they're going to end it. If somebody suggests that the thing that there's a spot where Hera says, I have something to tell you. And maybe she's preggers. Or maybe she just says, I love you. But either way, I hope she's pregnant. That'd be great.
It'd be amazing if she was pregnant for so many reasons. For one, because the implication with the way the crew reacted when they kissed, that they have never kissed in front of the crew, but they were on the DL.
Everywhere.
Yeah. It's like they were making babies all over the place.
Right. It'd be great. We haven't had that. There has not been ever, well, yeah, no. I mean, the first person actually that you assume has sex in Star Wars is... Well, never mind. There's actually been a lot. Anakin was getting busy.
Han Solo and Leia, yeah. of course.
Yeah,
I would like to point out that again.
Lando's trying to get busy at one point.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Lando tried it.
Lando's tried repeatedly in the canon, but we've ever seen is like one disgruntled ex, the one merc in his miniseries, who is pretty cool. But like that's it. Like, so far, we have one ex-girlfriend who's got nothing kind to say about Lando at this point, and a bunch of women who've rebuffed him. It's like, is he a ladies' man? This movie has got to cement. Donald Glover's got to be a ladies' man. He's got to woo ladies for us to actually have Lando become what we always have known he is.
But I could also totally see it where he tries and it fails
again.
In a funny way.
Oh man, poor Lando.
And the dragon, dragon cape should be a sell.
Right? It's the coolest cape, bottom line, ever.
You know what, though? 90 degree turn here. We have a question. Yeah, and I want to read it. So here we go. It's from Dave Darth Kindness, and it says, "Hi, guys. I have a question about The Last Jedi, the TIE fighters that take out Leia when Kylo can't get destroyed. I've watched closely 4 times now, but I can't figure out if Kylo shoots them down or if it's resistance fire. It happens so fast. As always, you guys rock. Dave Darth Kindness."
I don't think Kylo does, because he just kind of like sits back and is like, ooh.
It seems like he kind of takes a moment.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shoot.
I didn't think it was him.
I thought it was like the residual blast.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, that's something that I hadn't even thought about. It's an interesting idea that he might have done that. But I feel, and honestly, I wouldn't put it past him, but I do feel that, like we were saying, he just kind of like takes a moment there and isn't even aware of what's really happening around him.
And yeah.
I know Mark has some deep thoughts about this.
About what?
At this point, about anything.
What do you want? If you guys keep me laughing, I'm gonna cough. I'm gonna cough when I'm not laughing. What do you want? I'm surly.
just talk about the state of Kylo's hair.
Kylo's hair?
Sure.
Does he use a Salon Select?
Well, he said, I might have mentioned this before. I don't remember. He said at the red carpet premiere that he has little combs inside his helmet so that when he takes it off, it'll just, you know.
I don't pay attention to guys' hair. Sorry.
That's in the reaction episode of Navis's podcasting for right after we watched it with you, Mark, our buddy, Baby Noah, revealed that he thought that the robot that was taking off the Band-Aid was giving Kylo a haircut. He didn't realize it was undoing the stitches or whatever, or his cool racing tire tread Band-Aid, which is what it looked like to me. he thought that was like a little barber droid. And then when they came in, Kylo was like, no, shoot. Like, which just it just cracks me up. It's like, no, I need a trim. It's like after every battle, he has just the tiniest trim. He keeps his hair exactly the same length all the time.
I would have liked to have seen him go bald like the concept art shows. That would have been cool. I think
he has too good of hair to do that.
I don't, like I said, I don't pay attention to hair. I just know that bald Kylo would be pretty cool. Stubbly, like maybe a 1 would be fine.
Well, and I don't know, man. I do kind of pay attention to hair, but I'm with you because like he's supposed to be evil and badass, and like his hair's basically Snake Plissken because like Kurt Russell's got bottom line the raddest hair in Hollywood still to this day.
He does,
Even though Snake Plissken's not a good dude, he's still the hero of those movies. You know, like you're supposed to, and every one of those movies he's in, he ranges from a good guy to a bad guy you're supposed to root for. But like, I don't know, man. At this point, I feel like we're not supposed to really root for Kylo anymore. I get it in the first one, you know, and even throughout this one, we're supposed to not be sure which way he's going to go. But I'm all for him being like having the evil reflected in him more than just that scar, that cool scar. Because. Yeah, that's like part of the whole idea in Star Wars. The dark side makes you look like the evil that you are. Whether it's the reflection of the force lightning on Palpatine, or just the way everything shook out for Vader, it's supposed to twist you into your twisted evil, the dark side image.
I don't even buy that anymore by this movie, though.
Yeah, because he's just a pretty boy, right? I mean, but
well, he needs to have lost a limb.
I'm with you. He's gotten away with being too good looking. And just intact.
The second movie in every trilogy has a loss of a limb to a main character. And seeing this one.
The implication, I feel like, is that like Finn is more likely to have like a robo spine. You know?
Well, like I'd heard rumor, I don't know any validity to this at all, but I'd heard that at one point Ryan Johnson was writing the movie, at one point he had it where Phasma did not die in their fight, but that Finn cut off her arm instead and won by doing that and was able to walk away, but she didn't die. And then it
Nobody
evolved into what
died.
It is. Well,
did anybody
you know.
She's dead.
They can't have her quote unquote die in the first one, come back in the second one, quote unquote die in the second one, and come back for a third.
She takes laser bolts off her armor.
No, but she does fall into that like cascading abyss of explosions.
She, suffocated.
I'm with you that it wouldn't be the most preposterous thing to have her survive, but at the same time, it would be silly to have it appear for her to die twice and then
because like in the story, like you said, it's plausible in story for her to make it out of that. But in the context of a movie that Lucasfilm is making, it makes no sense to have her in episode 9 the way that 7 and 8 have gone.
If she's dead, that's horrible. That's horrible.
What if she didn't survive the trash compactor and it's just Hux's project and she's cloned?
Why even cast a woman of that caliber who's pretty well known to never have the mask off and just have her die and get her ass beat twice?
I agree.
I mean, yeah,
it would be like casting somebody really good as Boba Fett and having him go out the way he went out in Jedi. At least
it's like Robert Redford is Boba Fett. but he still has the same lines, same outfit. That's it. But it's just fun. It's fun for Robert. But they do stuff like that now. I mean, the interrogation stormtrooper is James Bond, you know,
right, but they don't announce his casting, you know.
No,
what I mean?
That's true. No, that's absolutely true. He wasn't at the table reads. They weren't like, who's Daniel Craig going to be? Daniel Craig plays Stormtrooper 7.
Jared, well, there's a whole book on.
No, you're absolutely right.
And a comic book series.
It's just a bummer to me, like that they've seemed to, whether or not she survives, which it seems like she won't. Like I'm with Tim and Andrea on that. I feel like that's what they want us to believe at the very least. But either way, just the treatment of having her just like summarily explode or whatever, or get crushed and explode. Like they haven't really done right by her as an actress or a character, I feel like.
And no. This wouldn't happen.
She should come back and kill Rose. There we go.
Okay. I don't want that to happen.
Well, because I don't want her to kill Finn, but she has to kill somebody major.
Wow.
So.
Well, what do you want me to do? Those two were around when she went down.
I think she should kill Snap Wexley because he stole what's-his-face's the chance to live, L.O. Asti. By refusing to record that line. And then he's not even in the movie because his buddy didn't do it. So,
there's only three people that she would want revenge on: BB-8, Rose, and Finn.
Yes, BB-8, and then they bring back BB-8 from the dead, just like at the end of the extremely racist Short Circuit 2, where he's made of solid gold, and you have a solid gold BB-8 is resurrected at the very end.
Okay, well, sounds like we've planned it out.
And then at the beginning of the next one, he'll run into C-3PO and. It'll have subtitles for the first time ever for an astromech, and it'll say, "You probably didn't recognize me with my gold."
I knew it. I knew you were going there.
I'm proud of you.
I really need her to have that red arm kind of thing. Now that I think about it,
Phasma's got a red arm.
Yeah.
When she comes back.
Yeah, probably didn't recognize me because of the red arm. Yeah. Well, you know, and the most important thing, though, about her potentially not being around anymore is that our intros just seem less cool now to the show, because now people are going to be like, I know that's not her. She died.
You got to get a new one. And Jerry Seinfeld
I know that's not her. That was funny, Tim.
Okay, so is that it though for this week as far as things to talk about?
There was one story.
There's a rumor.
Well,
okay. I guess Reed Morano met with Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
Is that what you were gonna say?
Is the rumor that they met, or that something's going to come of it?
Well, that
the rumors that something's coming of it.
She said point blank they met, but
she coyly said something about she can't talk about whether or not they're doing something.
Okay, yeah, so I'm
the
seeing
rumor is she's the next director.
There's an article on Screen Rant that the title is Reed Morano confirms Lucasfilm meeting but isn't directing Star Wars.
I had a thought about that though.
Yeah.
That maybe she, because her experience is in television and she's really good, like Handmaid's Tale is awesome. And I can't help but wonder if maybe, because we did hear at that most recent big announcement about their development, we didn't hear what the next standalone movie is going to be. You know, we didn't hear about the Rian Johnson thing until later, but we heard that they were developing a live action television film or a television show. And I can't help but wonder if maybe they're going to poach her from Hulu and get her to develop or show run a show instead of be a director on a movie.
Yeah, I mean, or she can just be taken over for Dave Filoni for the next animated series.
Hey, one could host.
I feel like Dave Filoni is going to be sticking around.
How weird would it be for them to go from Dave Filoni, like a guy who worked mid-level on Avatar The Last Airbender and then did Clone Wars and then did Rebels, is going to be then replaced by the lady who just did Handmaid's Tale, you know? Like, this is like critically acclaimed, like super dark, serious, like political allegory.
And this, she said it's not for Star Wars?
No, she's not directing.
Not directing Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah.
What if, Jared?
Listen, Kathleen Kennedy said she needed.
I'm in the middle of a conversation.
I don't care.
I do want to hear.
We're in a fight.
I want to hear everything.
Mark.
I want to hear Mark and Andrew.
No, Mark and I are in a fight, so I'm going to interrupt him.
When did my name become Mark?
Mark.
Mark. Mark.
We're in a fight, Mark. I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know she started speaking Welsh, but I think Andrea might have. Like,
what's
Jared.
Angela, where you speak in tongues? Go on, Mark.
So, Lucasfilm doesn't do
Kathleen
much.
Kathleen Kennedy said that she wanted she wanted to hire a female director, but she wanted them to have experience. Here you go. That award-winning series should be enough.
Mark.
There you go. So, along the lines of...
Go ahead, Mark. I'm giving you permission now.
What's happening?
Jared, if she meets with Lucasfilm, right? But it's not about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily, then what else does Lucasfilm have? She's not doing Indiana Jones. What else is there, Jared?
There's my favorite, which would be Willow.
There is the Alora Dannon television show on the Disney streaming channel.
Peter David did write tons and tons of follow-up novels they commissioned as
potential
source material.
He's broke. We don't need him. I liked Peter David until he started asking people to pay for something.
Oh yeah, no, for like him being because he had all these medical bills or whatever because he got sick. When right before that he'd said all sorts of crazy crap about how like gypsies are the worst. Like it was really bizarre. I've never really met an American who's racist against gypsies because we're not like 17th century Europe, like you know what I mean, like it doesn't come up, and he got in big trouble for that as well.
But couldn't you see that, Jared? I mean, you know, everybody look. Amazon's going to have its own Game of Thrones with the Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. HBO has their Game of Thrones with Game of Thrones. So now Disney's we need Game of Thrones.
You're right. I just read about another one. Which one is it? One of the streaming services is developing The Witcher right now as a series, and they're like positioning it to be a really big thing. They're making, they're trying to like do like Game of Thrones style budgets to just make it huge.
Well, Amazon has Britannia, and it's like, what? I never even heard of this.
No, you're not. Like, that makes perfect sense, and I would be super down for her to do a rad continuation of Alora, Dan, and story, and like keep Willow going. And I know that because he talks about it all the time, that Warwick Davis is down to do more. So
yes,
that'd be so cool to have that, and it would be like a great, I think, lead off for the Disney streaming service for like the, like,
sure,
the solid,
I agree,
Disney streaming service. I'd be super into it. That I'm not enough of an audience. There's not enough of me to do the same level of like the Star Trek Discovery, but that would be enough for me to be like
is yes. that over yet?
No, they're not done. They're getting close. They're winding down, and like it has been. You're gonna. I think you're gonna dig it. Like, there's been some awesome twists, and I saw some of them coming, but some of them, even the ones I've seen coming, have been just as satisfying, which is cool. I think like that's the.
Well, I absolutely love Twitter today. Twitter today and spoiling it was just thumbs up. Thumbs up. Good job there.
They spoiled everything. Jedi.
Great job.
Wait, who did it?
Indiana Jedi, good job. Good job.
Come on, guys. I like it's so it, like that show is so bad to talk about like in detail because there's been tons of twists.
He didn't even need to. between that and Ron posting a picture going, "Hey, I don't know what this is," but and then somebody else go, "Well, Ron, that's the alternate universe." Oh, great. Thanks. Thanks a lot, everybody.
I will tell Appreciate you when they have the last week, when they're on the last week, so you can do the free trial and watch all of them.
Yeah, let me know. Does anybody care about any of this?
No.
Andrea?
I'm guessing Andrea couldn't give any sort of care about the Star Trek show.
So assuming what's the name turned bad?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, because according to Indiana Jedi, I don't know why you cast that guy unless he's going to be bad. Yeah, good job. Good job there with the guy from Harry Potter.
There is more to it, but sort of, yeah. Like, and it's been really, really good. I couldn't be more happy with it, honestly.
Well, I'll just wait. But
it's been super different.
If any of you are listening, Ron, shame on you. Indiana Jedi, shame on you too.
I feel like Ron / CP3O used to listen fairly frequently, and I haven't heard anything from him recently, so I'm going to like call him out as someone who's not listening anymore.
Yeah, no, he's totally going to hear it.
He doesn't even like when this stuff gets retweeted. So, Jared, your boy's dropping the ball.
I'll tweet directly at him then tomorrow.
Just tell him we have some Funko Pop news.
Yeah,
we do need to cover the Funko Pop stuff more closely. We don't do that anymore.
Thank
God.
All right. Well, I just want to mention.
Who answered when I said God? Was that you, Tim?
No, I said I didn't hear what you said actually, but that would be great. No,
thank God. Just yeah.
Oh no! Great. Tim just outed himself. He is our robot deity. He has created us all in the simulation.
This you is guys, are the Ewoks. That? I'm 3PO.
Real quick, Jared, are you getting the Jeff Goldblum pop?
I did have to send that to my best friend when I saw that picture on a comic news site yesterday. The special
the lounging Goldblum.
Yeah, the special Jurassic Park one. Since Jurassic Park's one of Tim's favorite things, did you see that?
I did, but that sounds kind
Professor
of amazing.
Malcolm, they made a pop where he's literally with the shirt open. Seriously? And everything. And, you know, he's laying yeah. down like, and it's half the pose from the movie, but it's more the pose that Rose is in Titanic, which, as I've said, I've never seen, but I've seen enough parodies and trailers to know how she was laying on the back of that coach, whatever, the back seat of that coach.
All right, hold on. I have to look this up right now. Oh, that's
isn't that the best?
That's
no,
kind
I
of amazing.
No, I haven't pre-ordered or anything, but that might be the next pop I get. I haven't gotten a pop in a long time.
That is pretty fantastic. Just didn't think I'd see that today. It's even got like the tourniquet thing on. Like,
no, it's super detailed. They've gotten more detailed as they've gone. Like, pops are preposterous. I'm still with, I still get why people like them, but I'm also still torn. Like I get why Mark doesn't get it because they're weird.
This picture here says only at Target too. So,
oh, it's an exclusive. They do that a lot now, but they seem to like, some of them at least seem to make it easy for you to still be able to get those online. So
yeah,
that's better.
Well, let me just mention though, before we go, cause we were talking about the Reed, Murano stuff. That's her name, right? I think I just messed it up.
Yeah. Reed Murano.
Okay. That's what I thought. But then, when I said it, it didn't sound right.
I think that's right.
See, Steven Spielberg is directing the Indiana Jones movie. Like Mark had, he didn't say that, but she mentioned that it already has a director. I just saw that apparently, and I didn't know this, that he has his eye on doing a remake of West Side Story after Indiana Jones 5. Steven Spielberg is one of the last people I would expect to do a remake of West Side Story.
He hasn't done a musical yet.
Has he? That means must be inspired.
And like, obviously this isn't going to happen because it's just not going to work out that way. But I kind of would like to hear a John Williams arrangement of West Side Story.
That's going to happen, Tim. Tim, I want you to, you know,
except that that's not happening.
Yeah, I know, that's what I said. Assume it's not happening.
Like, I know, because it's going to be after Indiana Jones 5, which isn't coming out for another like 2 years or something like that.
And I just love Mark's reaction of like, nah.
West Side Story is a product of its time. It's already a remake of Romeo and Juliet. So this is.
That's true.
Let's let it be.
It's weird to do it again.
What do you mean, let it be? We need to remake everything that's ever been made.
We're not making a remake of a remake for a genre that is not really that popular anymore. Musicals aren't.
Tell that to Mamma Mia too. I'll be buying out the entire theater.
Yeah, but like, if anybody's going to do it, it's Steven Spielberg.
There are rare cases like Pitch Perfect is doing its like third one or whatever.
I mean, La La Land is a musical, and they won like Oscars. Not that I even really liked that movie, but
it was overrated.
It was fine.
Collins was not told to
listen. I'll watch Paddington for him, so he'll forgive me.
I haven't seen the second one yet. I believe him that it's awesome, but the first one is great, and all the books and old cartoons and stop motion stuff are great. Paddington's awesome. Colin is right.
Okay, so we're gonna end this now. I might make the comment that maybe Colin's not right. I don't know. But
wait, you don't like Paddington Bear? What is going on?
No, I haven't seen that.
Why? I'll be fair.
Because I just said maybe he's not right. I didn't say he was wrong. There's a difference. Oh, I hope Colin doesn't listen to this episode. Okay. Jeez. But we're gonna end it though, because we need to. So thank you everybody for being on. And this is, what did I say it was, 88, I think, episode 88. So we're getting close to 90, which would then put us at 100. So let us know if there's anything that you want us to do, because I am actively seeking out ideas from people as far as what you want to hear for an episode 100. I know different podcasts that have gotten there have done different things, and it's, you know, pretty cool. It's a special thing to get to triple digits for a podcast. So, let us know by any of our contact methods if there's anything you want to see us, or rather hear us, do for that episode. Otherwise, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you three for being on, and we will be back next week.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tim.
I got a lot of attention just now. Except for Mark. Mark doesn't like me. That's okay.
Aw, Mark.
Whoa.
I know. This is the part where we just awkwardly and silently wait for him to take off the mute button. And I can almost see him sitting there now just laughing, being like, you know what? I'm just going to make it awkward and wait longer.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm starting to feel like there's a group text that you guys have about
I'm getting texted by a group text. Not ours.
40 seconds before Tim just starts to get really paranoid. It was pretty good.
Bye.